This podcast is brought to you by the Howie Car Show Mother's Day Special. Go to HowieCarShow.com, click store, and get mom a Buy American, Support America Navy t-shirt. Best part? The shirt will come with a free book. You can get mom a shirt plus either a What Really Happened, a Kennedy Babylon 1, or a Kennedy Babylon 2. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click on store for this amazing deal.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Would you please go on the record with the American people? Did you sexually assault Tara Reid?
No, it is not true. I'm saying unequivocally, it never, never happened. And it didn't. It never happened.
Do you remember her? Do you remember any types of complaints that she might have made?
He forgets his kids' names half the time.
I don't remember any type of complaint she may have made. It was 27 years ago.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Women have a right to be heard, and the press should rigorously investigate claims they make. I'll always uphold that principle. But in the end, in every case, the truth is what matters. And in this case, the truth is the claims are false.
Case closed. Good work, everyone.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
The facts in this case do not exist. They never happened. And there's so many inconsistencies in what has been said in this case.
San Luis Obispo, California. Hello.
I'm wondering what a staffer would do besides go to the press in Washington. My daughter has just left there after working for a prominent senator, and the only thing she could have done was go to the press, and she chose not to do it out of respect for him.
Or she had a story to tell, but out of respect for the person she worked for, she didn't tell it.
That's true.
Unchained and unstoppable.
As we...
Look, this is a very... I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Please. No, that's all.
I've got two more questions. The first...
Okay, please.
Go ahead. The first is about your universe.
Over 600,000 dead. That fictitious person you described. All the PPP. The president has no intercourse whatsoever with the rest of the world.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats, beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome to the Howie Carr Show, TGIF. Thank goodness it's Friday. Many states are beginning to open up in other states, especially in the blue states run by power-mad Democrat governors. The lights are going out all over the blue states. It seems like it's an old line from the lights are going out all over Europe. But mandatory masks are being proposed. Demonstrations are breaking out in the state capitals of the blue states, like Michigan, like Springfield, Illinois, like Boston, Massachusetts, which has a Republican in name only governor. We're going to be talking to a brew pub owner in Oxford County, Maine, who's defying the power mad governor up there. 53 deaths from coronavirus, 380 deaths from drug overdoses, and nobody's cracking down on drug overdoses. They don't seem to care. No, it's not a big deal. Not a big deal. Anyway, 844-500-4242 if you would like to join us here today on the Howie Carr Show. We got a lot planned. And right now, though, it's time for Grace's News.
Hello, Howard.
Hi there, Grace.
TGIF, thank God it's Friday. What a week. It has been a long one for all of you who are stuck in quarantine. I hope you had a nice week, and we're about to bring you some very funny news, at least, Howie. I'm going to start with this piece that you sent me from the New York Post, and it was so amazing. I'm going to retweet it from your Twitter account, Howard. The New York Times is too oblivious to realize how insufferable it is. Wow.
Yeah, Maureen Callahan's column today. It's pretty funny.
She was not holding back, Howie. She went
Why should
at
she?
These people. I'm jealous. Maureen, I got to tell you, I'm writing a column right now, and I'm jealous of what you wrote. She ripped them to shreds. Definitely not within 700 words, though, Howie. This was a pretty lengthy piece, for the New York Post, at least. I'll read you a couple lines here. She basically goes into how all of these pieces, it's very similar to the Boston Globe. They're all very, you know, white, wealthy, elitist columnists.
Trust funds who write
about the roaring fires and, you know, the potato au gratin that they're making for dinner, et cetera, et cetera. So she first writes about Maureen Dowd. She said, and so we have op-ed columnist Maureen Dowd, who has built a far too long career out of relying almost exclusively on King Lear and the original Star Wars trilogy as political metaphor, profiling Larry David at the pandemic's outset. Indeed, who among us was not wondering how an A-list Hollywood star would be faring in his mansion situated on a golf course in L.A.'s Pacific Palisades? And it's not like Dowd doesn't have COVID-related problems of her own, you know. In the middle of this profile, she tells the reader she was so nervous about how she'd look on FaceTime that, quote, I asked my lighting sensei, Tom Ford, for some tips, and he kindly sent these instructions, which you are welcome to use, end quote. Wow, we really are all in this together, Maureen writes. She goes on to talk about another piece they had in the New York Times that was titled, My 4-year-old thinks she's a sous chef. I'm trying to remain calm. She said, there are plenty of Americans, by the way, who don't know what a sous chef is. Now is not the time. And then my favorite...
What is a sous chef, by the way, Grace?
It's the person who cuts up all the ingredients so the chef can just throw them in.
It's a soup chef, but they don't put any pea in it.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking. I thought it was for sauces. It's not for sauces?
No,
you learn something every day.
See, maybe I'm more New York Times than you are, Howie. Maybe I'm a bit more of a beautiful person than you. She also goes on to write about the Times has given those of us who hate Reed an unintentional. Oh, sorry, I'm all tongue-tied today.
You know, here's the thing, though. I don't even hate Reed the New York Times anymore. I don't even pick it up. It's just so exasperating.
They're like the Boston Globe on steroids, because these people talk about how they graduated from Wesleyan and how they're calling up their expert friend, you know, so-and-so Gwyneth Paltrow to talk about candles. They really have no sense of self-awareness. And yet the whole time they write, they're telling you, you know, that there's Trump is not helping the poor and that there's two justice systems, one for the poor, one for the rich. And the only people reading the New York Times are the very, very rich and the very, very elite who do not connect with the outside world. And the columns just go to show you that. I wouldn't write a column about how my four-year-old thinks she's a sous chef, or, you know, this is the problem with my latest whatever. It's just absurd, and they don't see it, which is the funniest part. They lecture you like you're so out of touch, and we're all credulous boomer rubes, and they don't understand that this is why we don't buy the New York Times.
Why don't we play some Biden cuts?
Sure.
I'm tired of talking about Maureen Dowd.
Anyone in particular you want to play, Howie, or you just want to go through them?
No, just pick, let's play some of the funnier ones from the strange washer machine analogy. Cut 22.
Well, it's like having a washing machine where there's no water and you don't have any detergent. There are machines, but you need the material. Why isn't he insisting that be moved quickly and insist that this began to happen?
I don't think I'm going to have Joe Biden do my laundry anytime soon. That didn't make any sense. Am I saying something crazy here? That didn't make any sense. Howie, there was one I wanted to play. Let's play cut 23, Taylor.
Very little of us getting into that person that fictitious person you described.
That fictitious person.
Oh, gosh.
Well, let's just keep going down. Cut 24.
I was put in charge of getting in the middle of the recession, the last recession we had, the major recession.
He was put in charge of getting in the recession?
Thanks for reminding us, Joe, that the last recession we had, you were at the helm.
And, you know, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, right? Starring Jimmy Stewart, a very famous movie of the 1930s. Jimmy Stewart was in many famous movies over the years. Joe Biden can do a really good Jimmy Stewart. Cut 25.
Right now, we're in a situation where we have an awful lot of small businesses being told by the big banks, you're not in line. You don't get it. You're not. And, you know, we should be moving in a direction to keep people on the payroll. That's what the money said, that the money was going to go to larger operations.
And you know what the thing is, Howie, with all these...
George Bailey has nothing on Joe Biden.
Your money's not here. It's over in the Maxwell House. It's in a million different places.
Uncle Lionel Barrymore, you lost the money. He lost the money to Lionel Barrymore. Excuse me. I'm getting mixed up.
The thing with these basement interviews is that it's hard to get timing right when you can't see someone. Like, I can't see Howie right now. I can see Taylor, so I can get the timing better with Taylor than I can with Howie. But... you figure with a politician, after years and years of doing these interviews, you get a little bit better at it. He's awful with the timing. And so is Mika. Those pauses in between, and then they keep talking over each other. At a certain point, you just have to say, you go, and then back
off
the mic.
Not true. Unless it's clear from the facts surrounding it, it's not the truth.
As we...
Look, this is a very... I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Please. No, that's
as we await.
Have you ever, sometimes you do have to do interviews with people that are on another continent or another hemisphere, and the signals go off the satellite and there's a 2-second delay. But in this case, Mika was in Jupiter, Florida, I think, and he's in Wilmington, Delaware. There is no 2-second delay. So what's the problem?
Howie, you know what that whole clip reminds me of? You know, when you're walking by someone in the hallway and it's that awkward, and you both go the same way and then you both try to go the other way and it's just this uncomfortable. I just cringe so hard listening to that. I'm sweating in here.
I've got two more questions. The first.
Okay, please.
Go ahead. The first is about your university.
Make it stop. Oh my gosh. They should just play that. Trump should just play that for his campaign ad. Make enough people cringe. Guys, don't forget, it's a great day to get your Buy American Support America t-shirt. These are made in the USA and they're fabulous. We have new navy blue t-shirts and you guys are going to love them. And if you buy a t-shirt, you get a free book. There's so many different packages, but these are only... And Taylor, I know I double check. I got to double check again. Are these $20?
$19.99?
I cannot be right, Howie. I got to double check with the mailroom manager. It seems too cheap, but if you go on now, $19.99, and it's a really good Mother's Day gift. Do not forget. And when we get back on the other side, I got Howie. I think we're just going to play more Biden sound.
There's a lot. There's a lot here. And Grace, send me all the stuff from Wednesday, too, please. You know, just so I'll have it to mess around with over the weekend.
You got it, dude.
I'm Howie Carr.
He's the maestro of microaggression. He's Howie Carr.
Hi, this is Val from Longmeadow, Mass.
Hi, this is Tony and Pietra from Havel, Massachusetts.
This is Murnie in Fairfax County, Virginia, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
The pandemic is that the president has no intercourse whatsoever with the rest of the world.
You'd think he'd learn something. He got so much grief, at least in social media, not from his fluffers in the Democrat alt-left media, but everybody else was kidding him about saying economic intercourse. And then he comes back this morning and says the same thing.
Well, you know, Howie, to him, intercourse never meant sex. Making whoopee meant sex.
23 Skidoo. He remembers those old days back in the rumble seat of his Model A, back when he was a young whippersnapper. Back when Franklin Delano Roosevelt was the president in 1929, he thinks, and was going on TV for the fireside chats. He's talked about all this stuff, you know. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Howie Carr Show Mother's Day Special. Get a free copy of one of my books with every order of Buy American, Support America t-shirts in navy blue. I just held one up for you. Plus, get free shipping on orders of $49.99 or more. Visit HowieCarrShow.com and click on store to order. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will you wear a mask in public per Charlie Baker's order?
This is in Massachusetts, our home state. He announced that today. Apparently, he's got a truce with the coronavirus until Wednesday. It's not necessary to wear the mask until Wednesday. No, I will not.
70% say they're not going to wear any masks.
By the way, he has just issued he came back out into Gardner Auditorium at the State House to make a new announcement. In addition to wearing a mask, he has a new haberdashery edict for everyone in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
Hear me. I am your new president. From this day on, the official language of San Marcos will be Swedish. In addition to that, all citizens will be required to change their underwear every half hour. Underwear will be worn on the outside so we can check.
Is that right, Governor Parker? All underwear will be worn on the outside so you can check?
Howie, did I tell you that Charlie Parker was an answer in last night's Jeopardy?
Was he? Really?
It said something, the real Charlie Parker, not Charlie Baker. But I didn't even get it. I never get any answers, and that was one that I should have gotten, and I still didn't get it.
Was it something about his nickname, the Bird?
Yes.
Yeah, I figured as much. Yeah, that's the only thing that, most people could get, even Jeopardy contestants.
Howie, our friend Kevin, who is at the Sunday River Brewing, he just texted me and said, it's official. A sheriff just drove by and tooted his horn a few times. And I said, just to be doubly sure, because I'm such a good journalist, I said, tooted in support? And he said, yes. Drove by on Route 2.
This is the brewery, brew pub owner who's defying Governor Mills' orders, and he's opened up today. So first, Maine, as many of you know, used to be part of Massachusetts, and then Maine became a separate state. So now I'm beginning to think, Grace, that everything north of Cumberland County, north of Portland, is going to become another state,
Wowzers. They don't much like
what's going on in where your underwear on the outside is going to be the new edict in Maine now that it's going into effect in Massachusetts. What else have we got, Grace?
Howie, we're going to play more Joe Biden sound, but first I wanted to remind everyone that Mother's Day is coming up. It's right around the corner. To order 30 assorted tulips for $39.99, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code Howie. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, code Howie. Hurry, this offer ends today. I'm not going to be reminding you guys this. So especially all the boys out there, get your mom some nice flowers. Taylor, let's play Cut 13.
I am absolutely positive that no one that I'm aware of ever has been made aware of any complaint, a formal complaint made by or a complaint by Tara Reid against me at the time this allegedly happened 27 years ago or until I announced for press. Well, I guess it was in April or May of this year.
He sounds like a robot.
How many times did he use the word complaint in there? About four times. But, Grace, how can he be absolutely certain?
Howie, let's talk about the fact that he sounds like a robot that someone poured water on and is melting down. Like someone has to take his batteries out or he's going to explode.
In the meantime, we cannot let up on what needs to be done. You know, one of the things... every morning, this morning I didn't, I get a brief from medical docs on the status of where things are. And,
where things are.
The former head of the, anyway.
This sounds like the who's on first routine, but he's performing both sides of the routine.
Does he get a medical update on himself? Is that it?
Yeah, Mr. Vice President, we're almost 2 weeks away from Easter. Have you found all the Easter eggs yet that you hid?
The fact is that I don't remember.
We'll be right back with Free Maine. Free Maine. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios,
You know, Godspeed, Rick Savage. Good luck tomorrow, truly. I hope you'll tell us how it goes.
I really appreciate Tucker coming on, and I hope all these restaurants will be able to open. And one further thing, I would love to share Janet Mills' cell phone number with everybody so they could give her a call directly, because she's got all the phones shut down. You can't even call. It goes to voicemail. The lawmakers can't even call her. They have to email her. She gets back to them. Oh, thanks for that. I'll get back to you soon. Here's her phone number. It's 207.
I don't know.
491.
Okay, hold on. Wait, hold on. How about this?
What's that?
I may have cut you up. Look, if our viewers are interested, it's Sunday River Brew Pub in Bethel, Maine. Call, ask for Rick Savage, and he'll do it.
We are joined now on the line by the owner of the Sunday River Brewing Company in Oxford County, Bethel, Newry, Maine. Rick Savage. Rick, thank you so much for making a stand for the people, the benighted, beaten down citizens of Maine. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
And that was one of the funniest TV moments I've seen in a long time last night when you gave out her cell phone number. As of course you know, Janet Mills has had to get a new cell phone.
Message GH22. The number you have called is no longer in service. If you feel you have reached this recording in error, please check the number and dial again. Message GH22.
Don't you feel bad about that, Rick Savage? She had to get a new cell phone number.
I've been trying to get a hold of her for 2 or 3 weeks. She won't take anybody's calls. She's hiding behind emails. She don't even take the lawmakers' calls.
So tell us. So you have the. How long has the brewery been open? The beer pub been open?
We've owned it for 5.5 years. It's been here for about 25 years. We're the second owners.
And so I assume
we're the
business.
third oldest brewery in Maine.
And I assume business was pretty good until very, very recently, wasn't it?
Business was awesome. Since we've been shut down, we've lost $650,000 in revenue, and the state's lost out on $45,000 in taxes.
Wow. And so Governor Mills has kept the restaurants basically shut down in the entire state. How many fatalities have there been in Oxford County, Maine, where you are?
None.
Zero. Zero.
Yes.
But you're shut down,
yeah.
Just as if you were on the east side of Manhattan.
Yes. And she told everybody it'd be May 1st, so we geared up for that. And then this last week, she said Tuesday, the lawmakers didn't even know. She comes out, we got a 3-month phase-in plan, you know? Like, I can go 25% for a month, and then when I prove myself, I can go more, you know what I mean? It's just ridiculous. She's doing this all on her own. She's not even consulting the lawmakers.
So you just said you were going to open. You opened at 4 o'clock today. Tell us what it's like now at the Sunday River Brewing Company.
We opened at noontime, and we've had a line of 50 to 100 people since noon. And right now, there's probably how many people outside here? Would you guys say 1,000, 500, 500 or 600 people right now? The state just pulled in with the state liquor inspector, state health inspector, and another person, and we're hearing that the state troopers are right down the road and getting ready to come in and arrest us.
Really? Well, why haven't they arrested you already? And what about, wait a second, shouldn't this be a job for the deputies, the sheriffs, the Oxford County Sheriff's Department? Are they just doing a hands-off with this? Do they not want to get involved?
Sheriff Wainwright called me this morning. He said, we deal with crimes. We're not getting political. If anything happens, it will be the state police.
Really? Wow.
Yes. Well, they threatened me this morning. I haven't been selling booze today because they called me this morning and threatened to take my liquor license for a year.
Are you selling booze or are you selling beer? I mean, that's one of your big things.
No.
I mean, you're selling beer.
No, today we're not selling alcohol or beer. We're selling food only because we called them out. We want them to arrest me. And once they do that, then it's all hands off, you know, hands on. We're just going to go right after them, you know.
So what do you think they're doing? Are they waiting to arrest you, like, on live on the local news at 5:30 or 6 o'clock?
Well, I think they were giving it time because they thought we were opening up at 4. So I think they're giving it time to, for people to show up at my restaurant to get full, and it's been full all day, so that way they can say that, you know, he's violating the law. He's violating her order. You see what I mean?
But you're observing the social distancing, right? You're keeping these tables separate, correct?
Yes, we are. Yes, we got every other table marked off with tape, so nobody can sit there.
So what have the other restaurant owners in the state of Maine, and especially around in your area, in the area, everything north of Portland, there's basically no coronavirus, not very little anyway.
Right.
A little outburst in Bangor at a homeless shelter, but that's it. So what are the restaurant owners saying to you when they call you?
They're saying if we don't get back to work soon, we're going out of business. And they also like to coast it. They can't rent a hotel or can't even book anything until August. So you go August, you're going to be the summer's over. So I'm talking with people, the coastal restaurants along Route 1 aren't even going to open up if the hotels can't book reservations.
Right. I just got a text from somebody, from a pest guy down in my neck of the woods around Goose Rocks Beach. And he said that everybody's canceling their summer rentals, you know, because they can't be sure if the state's going to be open. So everybody's just canceling. And this is killing people all up and down the coast and in state.
Well, you think about this. If they can't have this summer, they go 18 months without revenue. If they lose this summer, those businesses on the coast go 18 months without bringing money in.
So what do you say? What do you say to Janet Mills, other than this is her phone number for the entire country to have and call her? What do you say to Governor Mills?
I think she needs to get some smart people around her and figure out a good plan to get people back to work and make it work with the businesses, you know? They're just not doing it.
Do you think that they
just don't care about the people in Maine. She's trying to she went through all of our rainy day funds the first couple months she was in office. Okay? We're broke. We've been broke for a while. Now she's trying to make it worse to the point where we get more federal money because we're so broke. You see what I mean? That's her plan. They're trying to get federal money to bail them out. They were already broke before this virus. I told them, I said, listen, give the restaurants back the money we collected for you in January and February, suspend March's sales tax, the 8% we collected, and each restaurant should be good to get by on that until we open back up. One of the lawmakers told me, he said, that money's already spent.
So are you
spending it as quick as it comes in?
So Rick Savage, owner of Sunday River Brewing Company in Newry, Maine, are you expecting to be arrested in an hour or so?
Yes.
You don't think they're just going to issue you a citation? They're actually going to put you in cuffs and put you in the back of a cruiser and take you away?
I would think so, yes.
And so when you get bailed out at some point tonight or whenever, what are you going to do then?
Well, if we get out quick enough, we're going to go right back on Tucker Carlson Live. I've got a lawyer lined up to help me get right out quick if possible, but he said they couldn't mess with me and try to make me stay over the weekend.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was wondering about that, you know, because the courts are closed, you know, so they could say,
right.
Well, you can't, you're going to have to appear before a judge on Monday morning, and tonight it's Friday night.
Right,
so you
exactly.
might have to spend the weekend in jail. So is the restaurant just going to be closed out? Is the brew pub going to be shut down again till you get out, or is your brother going to take over and run it?
No, I have a management team. I've got a front end manager, kitchen manager. I've got an office manager. They're all in place. They run this thing for me. We got six different companies, and they run this place a lot of times. I'm out in an excavator sometimes, but they'll carry on and run it for me when I'm not here.
Is anybody else going to pick up the torch and continue this civil disobedience against the draconian shutdown measures of the Democrat governor?
I'm hoping, but I'm hoping I'm not out that long and we can keep it going. I think if they arrest me, I don't think it's going to be good for the state.
Man. Do you like being the face of the Free Maine movement?
Somebody had to do it. Nobody was stepping up, you know. And when I started hearing everybody's going to have to stay closed for another 3 months and prove to them we can do our business and stuff, enough is enough, you know. And I've been a critic before on the sign ordinance, and I've spoken up before, you know. And I've done that over the years. I mean, we have employees, and we look out for our employees. And if we don't speak up for ourselves, nobody's going to do it.
Why do you think there's not more pushback? You know, I mean, I know, you know, barbershops now are open in Maine, supposedly hair salons, dog groomers. But why aren't more people? I mean, a lot of people, like you say, 10% of the state population, not just the workforce, 10% of the people who live in the state of Maine, just like so many other states, have lost their jobs since this panic began. Why isn't there more pushback, Rick Savage?
Because the state don't listen anyway. We've been so frustrated in this state for so long, they're not listening to the people. They get in power, and then they got their own little clubhouse down in Augusta, and they do what they want to do. They've been doing it for a long time. You know, ever since she took over, at least LePage would come in, Governor LePage come into my restaurant two or three times, sat down with us. We talked to him for a half hour a couple times. You know, he's a nice guy. He wanted to hear what Maine businesses had to say. You know, she don't do that. She don't care. I got people here from Booth Bay Harbor right now with signs. They own a campground. They can't even open a campground, you know? And they're just frustrated. They're like, people are going to open up. I heard the bowling alley in town's opening up. I heard people up in Rangeley are going to open up. I heard people in Jackman is going to open up. I heard a bunch of people are going to defy the order and open up.
They can't arrest you all, can they?
Well, that's what we're saying. Trust me right now. They arrest me with this crowd I got out here right now. There might be problems. There's a lot of people here. There's a vehicle pulling in this yard every 5 seconds right now.
Wow. So tell people how to get there, because you're on all over the state of Maine and all across the country. How do people get to the Sunday River Brewing Company?
You would go 29 Sunday River Road. We're right off Route 26, Route 2. It's right in Bethel, Maine. You can't miss us. We got a big flag out front. It's beautiful. We got a 50-foot flag out front.
That's great. One last thing. Do you have Janet Mills' new cell phone number?
No, I don't. If I get it, I'll pass it on.
Message GH22. The number you have called is no longer in service.
People always remember that. I still remember when Donald Trump gave out Lindsey Graham's 4 years ago. And I'll be remembering what you did to Janet Mills last night. Rick Savage, good luck. And, an arrest is always a disappointment, but I think you're making a good point, and I salute you for standing up for the free state of Maine. Thank you, Rick Savage. I'm Howie Carr.
Keep it here, chumps. More Howie Carr after this.
This is Mark in Williston, Vermont.
This is Marie in Somerville, Massachusetts.
This is Mike from South Attleboro, Mass. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
Earlier today, I signed an executive order requiring residents to use a face covering in public places when they cannot socially distance from others. This order does not apply to children under the age of 2 or to people who are unable to wear a face mask or a face covering due to medical conditions or other DPH issued exemptions. The public's required to wear a face covering at all times in grocery stores, retail stores, or on public transportation. The order goes into effect on May 6th.
So it's very important that for public health, but it's not until May 6th. Five days, we've got a truce with the coronavirus. Then the cooties aren't going to attack anybody until May 6th. But you got to be prepared then. And we have the new order that just came. The new supplemental order has just come out. It was issued by the governor's top assistant. Maybe we don't have it.
Hear me. I am your new president. From this day on, the official language of San Marcos will be Swedish. In addition to that, all citizens will be required to change their underwear every half hour. Underwear will be worn on the outside so we can check.
That's Tal Duvall's latest order. Underwear has to be changed every 30 minutes and it has to be worn on the outside. Okay. 844-500-4242. Cindy, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Cindy.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I know many people have said about Tara Reid, why didn't she come forward? And I just wanted to provide some perspective because I went through something very similar around that same time. And if working for any male-dominated industry, especially like politics and other industries, if you made any kind of complaint, it didn't matter how far up the chain you tried to go, all that happened was you made yourself a target. Because there was no sexual harassment training. There was no corporations understanding that they have liability for these kinds of things. And all that happened was that people would demote you, make your life a living hell, and try to get you to leave voluntarily. And if you wouldn't, if you were trying to stick it out, you would be fired. And then at that point, trying to get another job in your chosen field was impossible because you were blackballed. And actually
She was fired, Tara Reid. You know?
Well, I know. And if any employer calls for a reference, you know, they would never hire you with any whiff that you had tried to pursue something like this against an employer. And if you tried to go through the EEOC or after that with a private attorney, you were committing yourself to years of struggling through the legal system and to no guaranteed result that you would be successful. And even if you were, as I was in my case, believe me, the compensation was not worth years and years of loss of income and never working again in the chosen field. So there's a lot of reasons why women
make those
don't
points.
Come forward.
I think Tara Reid is going to be making those points, and you're very articulate. I'm sorry this happened to you, and I think most people understand this now. Alexander Coburn was a left winger, but he was a great columnist for the old Village Voice in New York City for a while, and then he started Counterpunch. And this is from 2008. He's dead now, but this is what he wrote in 2008 about Biden. Biden is a notorious flapjaw. His vanity deludes him into believing that every word that drops from his mouth is minted in the golden currency of Pericles. Vanity is the most conspicuous characteristics of U.S. senators en bloc. Nourished by deferential acolytes and often expressed in loutish sexual advances to staffers, interns, and the like. On more than one occasion, Counterpunch's editors have listened to vivid accounts by the recipient of just such advances, this staffer of another senator being accosted by Biden in the well of the Senate in the weeks immediately following his first wife's fatal car accident. So what Coburn is saying, he's heard stories going back to 1973 because his first wife was killed in 1972. Have a good weekend, everybody. Say a prayer for Rick Sunday.